Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Awakenings Radio. I'm your host, Michelle Mache. How's everyone doing there? Happy Wednesday. Hello, everyone in the chat room. Just getting in. I see a few people that I know. Welcome, welcome. So I'm going to check my sound here. Hey, Monopoly. Welcome, guests. And welcome everyone that's listening via iTunes and Tuned In Radio, Tuned In or Tune In Radio, Cosmic Dimensions, and also everyone that's going to be listening to the archives later on as well. Getting a lot of listeners from this, I don't know if it's Tuned In or Tune In Radio. I'm going to have to check on it, but they do terrestrial as well as internet podcasts. So pretty cool, right? If you have a question, comment, you want to chat, call in at 347-539-5122. We'll be diving in, answering your questions, chatting, doing reading until about 12:55 today. So I'm having the guests come on a little bit later so I can get through the readings and people call again. So stay on the line. We'll be getting to you. And usually we have, I don't know, sometimes up to 20 people that we haven't been able to get on air, and so I hope this accommodates that. Watch no one call in. Wouldn't that be just like it? I also want to let everyone know or remind you about the Solar Newsletter. You get the Soul Insight monthly and kind of the happenings locally, you know, where I'm going to be doing a workshop and other stuff that's going on. And you can email awakeningsradio@gmail.com and say, put me on the list. Also, if you have any guest suggestions, topic suggestions, questions you want answered on air, that email address is also awakeningsradio@gmail.com. And Sadie will hook you up. They forward me the email. So. Also, I'm really diving into my blog more. I'm having a couple people that are helping me out more so I can really, I have so much content, so much stuff to get out, so much information on the happenings. So I'm going to be a lot more consistent with that and try to put out more. But I did do a whole, I'll do something for the new year, but I did do something for, I've been doing monthly insights of what's happening and some tools that you can use and just some suggestions. And if you'd like to get my blog, it's soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com, and that's the number 4, soulinsightsforspiritledliving, and then the number 4. Got a great guest on, kind of interesting, a filmmaker, yoga teacher and wellness coach. So we're talking about her upcoming film on yoga, about the transformation of yoga. So stick around for that. That's the second half of the program. Yeah. So, you know what? I'm going to go a little differently. I usually talk and chat and start answering email questions, but I think what we're going to do is just go right to the phone lines and just get a first caller. How about that? Hi, 720-628. You're on Awakening. Mm-hmm. 720-628. Hello, welcome to the program.
Michelle?
Yes, it's me. Who's this?
How are you? This is Michelle, too. I am, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we both are.
I love it. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. I'm doing great. This has happened sometimes.
I know, that's
when
so funny.
When people call, I just start giggling.
I hope you had a good holiday, too.
Oh, I did. You know, I had a great time with family and friends, and then we went to the movies. We went in and saw two movies. Yeah, it was fun.
That was so relaxing.
Yeah, it was very relaxing. Yeah. How about you? Was yours good as well?
Yeah, mine was pretty nice too, very relaxing. Got family in. We lost my cousin actually maybe a week before. So it was kind of, a little, harder, but it was definitely nice to get everyone together,
Oh, it's good that you could, definitely.
Yeah.
I know about that. I had a loss in my family in March. So it does kind of, you feel that space, right, that void. You feel that void.
Yes, you definitely do. Though they're still with us, just on the other side. But they're kind of hard,
Yeah.
It really is.
The only thing, it's that, you can feel them and you can hear them and messages.
Yeah.
Telepathically,
definitely,
or signs. It's
because that's
that
how
effort.
I really knew that she wasn't coming back, because she was in a coma for about a week, I knew, that she wasn't going to be coming back. So that kind of made
she
it
came
easy
to,
nope.
Did she come?
She never did. So
you just felt her though. You felt that she wasn't
going
to be coming back.
Because it was actually me and my brother and cousin, once they took her off of life support, she waited till we got there, and that's when she passed. So she literally passed, waiting for us to come, and then she went very peacefully, and that was it.
Wow.
And that was really good, because, we wanted someone to be there when it happened.
Absolutely. And you particularly, so...
Yeah.
Got to take that in as well. Well, I'm definitely touched and sorry for your loss, and yet I can feel her presence with you, and I think in these kinds of situations there are no words, because they're going to be, you're going to miss her presence. There's just,
So I still feel her too, so, I definitely don't look at it as a negative. I look at it as, of course, I'd rather her be here, but I know she's still here in a different dimension,
Just in a different dimension,
so,
in a different way. Well, that's good.
And that's
the
question that I had, too, for you. I'm wondering, can you see for me, do you see me having more children? Because I feel like I'm supposed to.
Yeah, but why do I feel like it's, I don't know your age, but I don't feel it's right away. It could be 3 or 4 years.
Nope. Yeah, because I said I really want a year, off, honestly. To just,
I feel like you could. I do feel there's a being around you, but it's not going to be immediate. It's not going to be immediate.
Yeah.
And you might not even, think it's going to happen. I feel like it's going to be a little... a little happy surprise, little miracle.
Yeah.
But you definitely will. And what's around you, Michelle, with school or classes? I'm seeing classes around you, some kind of workshops, classes, school.
Yes, actually, I've been doing, some online stuff, and I've been feeling I'm supposed to be doing, workshops, with groups of people, but I haven't found any yet, but I'm looking towards that, too. Kind of spiritual, this is my spiritual work. That's why I said I want to take that year off. And kind of just work on spiritually. So I'm feeling like I'm supposed to, eventually, but I just haven't had any opportunities come up yet.
Well, let me, because, I do, it's interesting that you're doing that, because let me see what the next one is. I do teleworkshops. I've got one coming up on the 21st of December. We do it every third Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, and it's a soul path teleworkshop. This one is on the deeper truth, and you can go to deepertruth.eventbrite.com. I'll put that in the chat. I always forget to mention it, but we're doing it on the solstice, and we're also going to be doing truth,
and that's deepertruth.event.com.
Eventbrite. com. I put it in the chat. Yeah, Eventbrite is EventBrite. And you can also get on our mailing list, but just email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com, and we'll send you the information. But we've been doing these just amazing workshops. I mean, just people are making just some amazing transformations. They're just, I do say so myself. I mean, I'm always blown away. And people are becoming more intuitive. I'm getting, you know, just great feedback, you know, by email that, because what we do, everything is, you feel it. You feel the subtle energy. You feel spirit. You feel your guides. You feel, even though we're not in the same, you know, place, we're not physically, people feel each other's presence. And I've been getting people major healing, new things coming in people's life, new directions opening up, people becoming more telepathic. And so this one, we're really going to be focusing on doing some sacred ceremony, but really release. The whole thing when I tuned in on the, for this workshop, because I always do a meditation and tune in to see, you know, what are people needing at this time. And you're really going to be connecting with your own guides. We're really working on that, your own inner knowing, and to find out either what's blocking or stopping or next steps, and really to find out the deeper truth. Personally, it will be for people personally, maybe in relationship, like what is really going on. I don't want to say on a karmic level, but let's say on a soul level. What's really going on? In other words, why am I in relationship with this person, or why is this happening in my life? So that you can really get the direction, the answers. So, and then what we're going to do from that place is also use the energy of the solstice to really focus on and start drawing in. I'm going to show teach a certain visualization technique where you really connect in. And I've done it in some of my workshops before, but you really connect in to the subtle energy. See, this is the thing that people don't realize. We're drawing in or manifesting. Which manifesting simply, to manifest is simply a French word that means to appear or, you know, to reveal or to be able to bring into form. And unless you connect into to the subtle energy, the feeling, and feel first what is already there etherically, and then open it and draw in. Also, to manifest, you have to, there has to be a shift in your frequency, vibrational frequency. Otherwise, it's not there. Just like what we were talking about a minute ago when you were talking about your cousin's passing, and I was saying I'd had a relative that had passed as well. You feel something, like when someone's not there or there in a different way, you feel something energetically different. You might say, well, they're missing. I feel their presence, but I don't feel it as heavy or strong or as dense. You know, just like if you were in the room with your eyes closed and someone came behind you, you would feel their presence. So we need to really draw in or manifest. You need to work with that kind of energy or feeling tone. You have to be able to use that kind of energy to draw in. You have to feel what's not there and be able to draw it in. So anyway, it's pretty fun and pretty powerful. And
that sounds pretty good.
Okay, Tamara put the link in the chat. Thanks so much, Tamara. Appreciate it. Now, Michelle, did you have another question? I guess that's why I said, but I did see you doing courses, which you said you already are online. And like I said, you can go email awakeningsradio@gmail.com and get more information, or go to deepertruth.eventbrite.com. Did you have another question?
No, just one thing. If you see the kids, like, do you know or see when is the guy that's going to be the husband? Do you see when he's coming in?
Let's see. Well, maybe that's why it's a wait. Maybe that's why you're waiting for the child to come. Okay.
It is, because I know that I, I said a year, but, you know, if I get to know him, it's going to take me 6 months or more to get to know him, so.
It's a good idea at least a year to know somebody, I would say. And really, couples, if you can wait a year to 3 years, because then you really get a solid foundation. Can you just give me the month and day of your birth date? Just the month and day.
Sure. It's 8/15.
Okay. I feel like it could be... Well, it might be quicker. Yeah. I think next year, probably mid-next year, you'll meet somebody.
Okay. I mean, it could even be March, April, but I feel like it could be a little bit later. And okay. There's somebody around you, by the way. So it's going to be in your neighborhood or walking distance. I don't feel that they're far from you. And it is just some kind of, group situation, or it could even be just you walking and talking to somebody. Something local. It's in your local neighborhood is what I'm hearing.
Okay.
All right, Michelle, keep it posted.
That's good. Thank you. I definitely will. I'm not going to check that out. Thanks so much,
right.
Michelle.
That's great.
And you have a great day.
You too. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, any callers calling in? The number, if you're in the chat and you want to call in, you can do it by Skype. Or the phone number is 347-539-5122. And press 1 on your keypad to let me know you want to get on air. And if you're a Skype caller, if you want to get on air, press 1. 646-729, you're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Michelle, this is Owen.
Hey, Owen.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm great. I'm doing really well. I haven't called in a while, and I'm glad I had the day off today, so I thought I'd do it.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it has
How
been, but I've been listening, and things are going really well. I think since the last time I talked to you, a lot has changed, and, last time we spoke, I was kind of considering making a move, in the spring or next year sometime, and I really took to heart what you said, and I feel like things have really shifted here, and so I'm really feeling like a new sense of just feeling at home in the place that I am and doing what I'm doing, so... I just wanted to thank you for that. So, yeah.
Oh, you are so welcome.
Yeah, things have really been looking up. Yeah, yeah, and things have been moving forward with music with me, and so that's kind of why I'm calling in. Just wanted to see what your take was on any sort of next steps. Or I released recently my first EP of recordings.
Cool.
And. Yeah, yeah, and so...
How can people get it? Let us know. Do you have a
yeah,
link?
Yeah, I will. I do. I have a Facebook page, and it's on Bandcamp. People can buy it that way or just listen to it for free. But maybe I'll send that along to you in on Facebook.
Okay, What's your Facebook? Yeah, Facebook.
It's just my full name, which is Owen Scott Gibbs, and from there people can, if you just Google that, my Facebook and SoundCloud and Bandcamp will show up. So, yeah, I'm really
Owen
excited
Scott
about
Gibbs.
It.
Is it G-I-B-B-S or G-I-B-B-S?
Yeah. Yep.
Gibbs, okay.
Yeah.
Find me on Facebook, too. Friend me. I'm at Michelle. Well, 1L, M-I-C-H-E-L-E is the Awakenings Radio.
Okay.
And then with two L's, it's my personal page, which still is kind of the same. But yeah. Oh,
awesome.
Thank
you,
Tamara. Yay. Tamara says hi in the chat. She also put the link up. Thanks so much, Tamara.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. That's great.
So let's see. Your music. Okay. Now, here's the thing. I'm so glad you didn't move or do anything kind of...
Yeah.
Jumping in or jumping out, because 2014, I'm going to be writing about this, and I think closer towards the end of the year, I don't know, I'll probably do it a few times in December, and then definitely in January, I'm going to do focus on a lot more readings to help people see what's happening collectively for the new year, but also personally, and do numerology. So those of you that, like to get readings, pass the word. 2014 is major directional shifts. You know, people that kind of stayed put and did their inner work and got comfortable where they are, or found out what was blocking them or what they needed, what they need to complete their life, or, what are those next steps, and did that, you are going to see, major turning points, major tangible redirection of energy, tangible things coming to fruition. The thing I do feel about you, I do feel, I feel cool around you as well. I feel some type of touring. Do you go to colleges by any chance? Schools?
No, I haven't. No, I mean, I started to play out more, and you know, just playing shows and the people that I've been collaborating with. And but I, yeah, no, I haven't done that. But there are colleges
around where I am. See you on a circuit. I see you on a circuit, and I do see you. I feel like there's going to be either a booking agent. I don't know if it's a friend, a buddy. But I do see somebody booking gigs, and I do see it becoming more and more regular.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is some of this acoustic by any chance or unplugged?
It's me and my guitar pretty much, and I've been
collaborating.
But yeah, it's mainly, you know, I'm pretty much a solo artist. And,
Because I do see some kind of like cafe, local cafe, kind of restaurant-y kind of stuff. I'm seeing a lot of that, and then I do see around the colleges, and there is going to be something though. I feel like it could be multiple people that are performing. And I don't know, so long since I was in college, but I think there must have some colleges that have like cafes or something in them or more. I see round tables, so it's not like a cafeteria or something. It's kind of like a...
You know, that's funny you say that, because I actually just the other weekend I played a show, which was, you know, it was probably one of the biggest ones I've played, and it was like a tribute concert, and I played with fellow friends and musicians who are really talented, and that it was like a big sort of, you know, setting with round tables and people could order drinks and stuff like that.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking about. Okay.
It was really awesome. It was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm picking up. But sometimes I don't know if it's past or present, but definitely the playing more and the traveling and getting the booking agent is definitely coming up. And there's also something coming up with you around, I see mountains, and I don't know if it's Colorado, but I feel like there's...
I live in the mountains in North Carolina, yeah. So that's...
Okay.
Big mountains, yeah.
That's where you're at now. I think what I'm getting next year, there's a lot for you about, a little bit the monetary comes in, like I want to make this much money or do this or that, or I want to make more, or how to promote. There's a lot, again, it's going to be very tangible stuff for you, you know, get this press release, get this EP out, you know, get it digital, you're going to do CDs, or if you're playing, bring CDs with you, or the link, a lot of that kind of stuff. And I am seeing more collaborations or like these tributes.
Cool.
I feel like you're going to be drawn into more of these, yeah?
Yeah, yep. That's actually what's happening right now.
Oh, it is. Cool. Now, are you...
Yeah.
It feels like more people are getting to know you. Is that part of it?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, definitely. Yep, I do. What's that? Say that again.
I said you got a fan. Tamara said, oh, my, oh, and just listen to your music. Wow, you have a great voice, so soulful. Heartful. Wow.
Thank you so much. it's my soul.
She said she loves Still Do, the song Still Do.
Oh, yeah. That's sweet. I wrote that 2 years ago or last year or something. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's really exciting. Everything that you've been talking about, and I've just taken so much of what you said and really just, you know, just sort of stuck with it and, you know, it's just coming from a place of inspiration, and it's really amazing how it all came together and sort of seemingly magically, you know, it's like I had this idea, this, you know, vision for several years even, and then it just happened, and now I just feel like things are really starting to roll, and so it's exciting, so, yeah.
Yeah, it is. I think 2014 is going to be a very exciting year, and I feel those that have really kind of been listening and kind of daring to make the changes. You know, the puzzle pieces from 2010, and some of you remember me talking about this, and I think even other people were even talking about this, that we really had an energy shift. In fact, that's when the Occupy movement really, you know, started taking off. That's when the new energy pattern really came in on the planet. You know, it had been there, you know, it just bit by bit coming more into form, but it really took hold. And so now these next few years, we're being pushed and pushed more and more to the new energy pattern. So this year especially, and next year, you know, there's a lot of intense energy, and it's forcing people to move their mind, move their body, to create, to do something, not just passively wait. Because so many of us, you know, right? There was a lot of misinformation, like being receptive meant waiting. Like, well, I'm just waiting for a sign. I'm waiting for a signal. But it's like, no, you want to write? Write. You want to write a song? You want to play? Just do it.
Yep.
So people,
you know, that, I feel like that's been the biggest shift within me, is just, like, putting it into practice and action and not just, I don't know, not moping so much and just, you know, doing what I love to do. And it's made such a difference. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I call it implied action, and it could also be called right action, but it's like what is right in front of you is what you're meant to do. And sometimes it doesn't seem like what we're, you know, it's like, well, no, I want to do something else. You know, I want to focus on something else, or we think the order should be different. Like, no, what I really think I should be doing is this. But if that's not in front of you, you know, and I mean, right? I mean, there can be an inspiration, but, you know, your higher self spirit will always put something in front of you that helps you go to that next level or next direction.
Mm-hmm.
I think for people, it's really opening up to that and following through for yourself.
Definitely.
You feel you're following through more?
I do, yeah. I really, and I feel like it's been, you know, and just, I don't know, since the summer probably, where I've really just sort of focused a lot more with intention and just really cared more about the, I don't know, just the where my thoughts were going and how I was, you know, what my perspective of was myself and what I was doing. And just, yeah, like you were saying, really taking inspired action and taking the time to sort of align with, you know, myself really and what's important to me. And and I feel like, you know, there have been subtle changes in my life, but also like sort of an underlying big wave of just a bigger change underneath all of that. And I feel more inspired, and I feel lighter in a lot of ways, and I feel more just hopeful about my future and the future of, you know, everything. And I feel like once you're kind of in that state on a more chronic level, it's really hard, like, you know, when you get bogged down by something or you get, you know, depressed or whatever, it's like, it's almost, I don't want to say intolerable, but you, like, I feel like I can't stand for that as much as I used to, and that's a good thing, you know. Yeah. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, a lot of people saying that, you know, and I find, you know, I was thinking today when I was walking, I was doing a meditation, and I was thinking about resonance, that, you know, when you're really connected into your resonance and you shift, someone that isn't of resonance, isn't of a similar enough vibrational frequency, could be right near you and not even see you. You know, you really do, you attract by, right? We attract by resonance.
Yeah.
And if there was someone, I was walking Yoshi, and I thought, oh, I don't really want to talk or see this person. And I was thinking, I'm not going to, I'm on it. And I'm like, and I just realized, I thought, you know, but it doesn't matter. And what's weird is, like, 2 days ago I was walking and walked right by as they were going into their house, and I saw them, but they didn't see me. And I thought, there's an exact example. So I was right in the middle of the street and crossing the street. So it's just funny how that goes. And we are attracting more and more in resonance. And that's why it's so important to get to our deeper truth, so we know what are we really supposed to be doing or focusing on. And the only way to do that is we have to slow down. You have to slow. You can't go deeper. You can't go below the surface without slowing down. You know,
wow. Yeah, that's so true.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really where I'm at.
I would imagine you do that anyway. As a songwriter, I would imagine you do that anyway.
Definitely. Well, that's the only real way that I feel like anything can come through that's, you know, meaningful or that's going to last or become something bigger. You know, it's just taking that time to really just slow down with yourself, and probably for any sort of creative endeavor, I'm sure that's true.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate your insight and encouragement.
Great. Thanks for calling in, and thanks just for being you and following through for yourself.
You too.
I'm sure so many people listening to what you're sharing are going to be so inspired. It's great that you could call in. Thanks, Owen.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, I love that. It's I think for anything creative for anything creative, we are creative beings. That's my feeling why we're here. We learn, yes, but it's not really, and learning is intrinsic to our path, if you're aware. I mean, it's part of the game. It's a fun game, but we're really here to express and experience love, which our creations, our creativity, whatever form that takes, our self-expression is that love. So I know for myself as being an artist that I have to pull back sometimes and just be more on my own. And family and friends understand this. You know, either meditate more, take time in my journaling, my writing, my poetry, what's coming through, is it my dance, my movement, my painting, my sketch, what is the project I'm working on? And sometimes it's really to even have the guts, if you will, to step away from your project. You know, and your project can be whatever you're working on. For some people, it might be your children. It might be a relationship. But in order to get to the deeper truth or the deeper meaning of what's going on, eventually you have to step away from it and just let it be, let it find its rhythm, its flow. Because sometimes what happens, you know, it's like shifting gears, you know, in a car. You're in the middle of the shift, or the other person is, or the dynamic of what's being created. Which is so important to remember, you know, that whatever we do in our life, our energy is mingling with another person's energy. And it's a very unique mingling. And so how you're experiencing a person or a situation is may not be, and most likely won't be exactly like somebody else is having that experience. We meld together, but our experiences are not the same because we're unique beings. And so when we bring our uniqueness together with other people or another person or situation, not only are they forever changed, we're forever changed, and the situation is forever changed and changing. So, you know, kind of an unfolding happens where we may come together with certain ideas, but then you follow the flow. What is revealing? What is unfolding? What is being shown? And the only way to do it, because otherwise we get caught up in the ego perception, the only way to do it is to really kind of stop. And there's an old Native American tradition, actually, of doing that. It's where a lot of the standing meditations came from. But to just stand, and preferably with no shoes on, and in either on the earth or floor that's hardwood floor, or it could be stone, but something that is earth material. And if you can do it outside on the sand or grass, even better. But to just stand, and you can all do it right now. I'm doing it right now if you're not driving. If you're at work listening to Awakenings and do this in your little cubicle or your office, people will be like, what's going on? I dare you to, and then let me know what happened. But just stand, not trying to change your breath, not making it faster or slow, but just focus on the breath. Connect into your inhalation and exhalation, the in-breath and out-breath. You can do that now. You'll notice there's a certain rhythm there, and then you'll start feeling the heartbeat. And just be present to that. That's your signature timing, your internal timing, your inner rhythm. And once you really kind of feel that, you kind of feel like, wow, I can feel everything in my body. There's this rhythm. There's this movement. Then you bring that to my radio show.
Until 12:30, right?
Nope. I'm live.
Hi.
Sorry about that, everybody. Anyway, then you. Sorry about that. They should know that I have my radio show now, so no one was in my studio. So as you breathe in, then begin to really connect in to the earth, feel the pulse of the earth. And as you feel the pulse of the earth, you begin to connect in with the external heartbeat or drum beat. And that we have that inner drum beat, which is our own eternal timing. Tamara saying, standing pose and tree pose both center me so much these days in the midst of chaos. Yeah. So it does, just like I had that chaos now of somebody knocking at my door when they know every Wednesday I have my show from this time, which is cool. So that interconnectedness, you know, of the drum beat, you know, of the heartbeat, of the om, the om, the pace and the pattern of the world, you know. Be in your own energy, your center, no to the external stuff. Yeah, just be in your own energy. Well, and that's the thing. Our energy is meant to mix with other people's energy. You know, we're all interconnected. And in a way, it's the soul call. Every time we intermingle with somebody, there's a sharing of energy. And that energy can take many forms. You can be inspired. We can move into aspiration. We can learn something. We can share something. We're sharing ourselves. They're sharing themselves. And then from that interchange, there's a wonderful interplay that takes place. That interplay is magic to me. Yeah. Just really enjoy the magic. And the only way to enjoy it is to let it be revealed. You know, magic, if you think of a magician, magic happens underneath the surface. Ooh, Tamara put a good point. We mustn't lose our personal signature energy within the whole. Yes, and see, that's what everybody's learning to do. Because we were losing our signature frequency too much, you know, and that's kind of was the game that was happening in the mainstream world or mainstream consciousness. And we're not meant to cut off. We're meant to harmonize. So if I'm honoring my signature frequency, if I'm honoring what I'm about, how I'm expressing and experiencing life, then I can more easily honor someone else. You know, it's hard to honor someone when you really aren't honoring yourself, when you don't know yourself, when you're confused, when you don't know the truth of who you are, that gets projected out. You know, that becomes shadow material. Which, by the way, that brings us to a question. Now, I do see callers on the line. If you do have a question or a comment or you'd like a reading, go ahead and press 1 on the keypad, and that'll let me know that you want to get on air. I just touched on this about the shadow, but I wanted to go into – okay. There's a Tarara, I think is the name. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Was talking about she feels like a lot of shadow material is coming up for her. She's seeing traits, things that are bothering her and other people. She's wondering if that's something that she's not seeing within herself. Also, I've been dreaming of cars. I'm not that much into cars, but I've been dreaming about different cars and getting a new car. I have thought of getting a car, but I don't really need one. Is this a message that something bad is going to happen to my car and I need to get a new car? Okay, so two-parter there. Sometimes you are seeing shadow material. Yeah, sometimes you are seeing parts of yourself through other people, whether you want to call it the negative projection or the positive projection, however you want to look at it. You know, you might, like when you get inspired, there's a projection there. You're seeing something in someone else that you also have within you. So it's about taking that on, you know, yourself, right? So that's that positive projection. But it can also be what we call the negative, which I don't really like positive. Let's say non-life-enhancing projection that is projected out into the world that says, you know, maybe something you're seeing other people as being grumpy or something, but you have that side to you too. Or here's a really good one. A lot of times people that are not necessarily, not necessarily happy in their life will sometimes put this projection onto other people that, oh, this isn't going to work, or you're not happy, or you know, this isn't going to turn out right, or, you know, kind of the doubter energy, or overjudging, or and you have to look at that time, you know, when that happens, not to wear it, you know, to look and see and say, well, am I thinking this, or is there a part of me, is there a small part of me that feels this way or doubt? And that doubt becomes a seed and takes hold, right? So, you know, in that case, you want to ask yourself, so in order to free yourself, you have to recognize that you have a part of that within you. Otherwise, it wouldn't be coming up, right? So if there's charge there, see, there's only charge in the projection. There's only charge in the projection if you're having a negative reaction to it. Otherwise, if there's no charge or a positive reaction, if there's no reaction, then there's no charge. That means there's not anything resonating. So if something is neutral for you, then, you know, it's over or it's fine. It's not a big deal. So whether positive or negative, if you're really excited about something, you're really inspired, let's go for it, you're motivated, that's emotional charge. But we call it life enhancing, though, because it's life, it's going to motivate me, it's going to inspire me to do something or to go forward in my life, right, or create something. And then there's the non-life enhancing where, and we all get there in a blue mood, or we get down, or we get depressed. You know, it's just you don't want to chronically stay there. And so there's charge there in that direction. Get together with people, and you're, oh, you're talking about, oh, this happened to me, it's so horrible, or I don't know if I can make it, I can't do this, or this, you know, life is hard, or whatever the story is, there's emotional charge there. And so there's that carrier wave of the experience is through the emotional charge. So emotional charge isn't bad. A lot of people think it's bad. It's we're emotional beings. We're energy, energetic beings, energy, emotions. So it's how you harness that energy. Okay, second part of the question about the dreaming of cars. Think about cars or your vehicle. How do you get around town? How do you get around in your life? So I would say sometimes with cars, if you're dreaming about something or an appliance or the car needs tires or you need a new car, it can be a sign that you need to check things out in the car. You know, you need to tune up what's going on with the car, or maybe you are going to be getting a new car. But also check your body. Make sure that your body is doing well. Is your body healthy? What's going on with the body? Because the body and the car can be a symbol for the body, or also how you get around. Notice if you're driving. Are you in the passenger seat? Are you more passive? Are you always in the driver's seat in your life? Do you sometimes need to be in the passenger seat? Do you sometimes need the back seat? I worked with a client once, and she kept having these dreams where she was always in the back seat, and her children, everybody else was up in the front seat. And you could look at that kind of literally, taking a back seat to life, right? And, you know, again, there's no wrong or right, but if you're always dreaming that, it can mean you need to get in the front seat. You know, you need to get in the driver's seat of your own life. And she did say she let everybody else kind of control things. And by the time things came to her, there either wasn't enough time or, you know, she didn't feel like she was doing enough for herself in her life. And I said, well, that dream is showing you that. How are you getting around in your life in this vehicle, this container? How are you traveling in your life? Is you're always in the back seat. And that means that you're letting others over control. So and sometimes getting a new car is showing maybe there needs to be or there's going to be changes in your life of how you get around, maybe even body changes, or maybe it's saying have care, you know, with these changes. Cars, you know, when you drive a car represents a lot about your personality, clothing. And it's the material manifestation of our personality, you know, our likes and our dislikes, our preferences. So sometimes seeing different cars is showing you that maybe it's about trying on different modes of being, modes of expression, or ways of getting, or ways of moving through your life or in your world is another way to look at it. I hope that answered that question, two-parter there. Oh, and then we had another, I cannot read the recently, divorce. Okay. So another email question that came in, and there's a lot of writing here, but bottom line is dreaming of ex-boyfriends, and this is for Shauna, recently divorced, and had been dreaming about her husband and now been dreaming about her ex-boyfriend of 19 to 20 years ago, main love of her life. Does this mean that he's either on the other side or am I going to get back together with him? Now, it can mean you're going to get back together, but usually those kinds of dreams are representing that either something in your inner psyche, I would say think about that boyfriend. Think about even the husband. Are there parts of that individual that you, aspects of that being, characteristics that you need to integrate, that you need to focus on? And also with the ex-boyfriend, the former boyfriend, are there aspects, you know, what was working in that relationship? My sense is because you were or you recently divorced, and I'm sure there's a separating out. You didn't go into that, but going through a separation and all that brings up, a separating out, right, is that your higher self is asking you through the inner psyche to contemplate, to look and see what was working and what didn't work, and maybe even why. And again, like when Owen called in earlier, we talked about going deeper, slowing down to contemplate, to really look and see that, you know, what were the qualities the ex-boyfriend had? What worked in that relationship? What did you like? What brought you joy? What was fulfilling? What worked for you? What did he do that you liked and needed and worked? And what did you do that you liked and needed and worked? So my sense is you're in a evaluation mode and reevaluation. So evaluating, but maybe even reevaluating the past, evaluating from the present circumstances and then reevaluating from the past. And to see what do you need now? You know, what worked in the past? What do you want to bring forward from the past that was working, that was fulfilling, that was nurturing? And again, a lot of times our dreams, there can be our next step. They could be what we need to focus on, what we need to heal. They can be predictive. They can be messages of what's coming up for us, what's coming forward, where we need to focus. They can even be just rehashing the day or maybe issues or problems that we haven't been able to resolve. You know, so there's many different, it's a tool. There's, you know, many different ways to use this wonderful tool. And some of them actually, I think, are pretty metaphorical or analogous to whatever somebody is going through. And again, you don't want to X out that it could be somebody coming back into your life, or it could be somebody similar or that reminds you of that person. But I find with any type of inner work, dream therapy, any kind of work where you're looking at symbols, is you also want to always bring yourself into it. How can I make this personally about me? Like, what am I learning? What am I needing to do? Not that it's just this external person. Because even if somebody is coming back into your life or somebody that reminds you of that person is coming back into your life, it's not about that person. It's about what they represent to you and your inner growth, your inner psyche as well. Okay, we have our guest coming on in a little bit. I wanted to get to another question. James had sent in a picture about a bright spot. And I do feel that it was an elemental. I feel like there was a few of them there. I saw a little bit more light. He says, I forwarded a photo taken of my son and I. A bright spot appears in the shot, but not others taken immediately before or after. Do you think it might be a spirit light? And I would say yes. There can be a lot of those orbs, or there can be beings that are coming through a bit more. Sometimes you take a picture and you can even see the colors of the chakras, almost like Kirlian photography. You can see that presenting, or the sprites or animal spirits or the energy from trees. So can be a combination. You know, everything is energetic. Everything has energetic properties and therefore light properties. So sometimes that is revealed. It's an interesting combination what happens, I think, with the whole chemistry, if you will, chemical interaction of, you know, the camera, the idea of the light and how it hits. And, you know, sometimes the cameras catch, but we don't always see with our eyes, but sometimes feel. That's why when you read auras, you really soften the gaze, you soften our eyes. Great questions. I thank everyone that called in. And Tamara, Monopoly, all the guests, everyone in the chat, making it just such a wonderful, full experience, and all your questions and comments in the chat. I want to go back that those of you listening and want to check out Owen's music, it's Owen Scott Gibbs. And he's also on Facebook, and so you can connect with him there as well. And, yeah, anytime you know, want to share anything that you have going on, just email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com and let us know what's happening, and I'll give you a shout-out on air. All right, so the second half of the program, we have our Awakening Dialogue, and today we have Suzanne Bryant, who's a journalist, filmmaker, and a yoga teacher, as well as a wellness coach. And she also recently released a feature documentary called Yoga Is, a Transformational Journey, which takes the viewer on their own journey to find true happiness. Through this film, she traveled through India, across the U.S. to interview many of the most prominent yoga teachers in the West, also some high-profile celebrities, such as Russell Simmons, Christy Turlington Burns, Michael Franti, and Buddhist questions that we have about life, love, truth, happiness, purpose, dark and light, and transformation. I want to welcome to the program Suzanne Bryant. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I was actually really fascinated with what you were speaking about earlier.
Oh, wonderful. You got to hear a taste of it. That's, yeah, great.
I did. It was a treat.
Well, I love always getting background information, so I'd love to dive in a bit with that with you as to how you found yourself on this path.
Of making the film or just connecting to spirit in general?
Just in general. Let's start there, and then we'll get into the film. But it always interests me, and I know that also the listeners as well, is that there seems to always be, and I wonder if you think this is true as well, there's always seems to be seeds way before, seeds of awakening, seeds of seeking, mm-hmm. seeds of opening up. And did you find that for yourself on your path?
I did, in so many ways. I mean, I grew up Catholic. I grew up in Marin County in San Francisco. We came from a very, like, close-knit family. But my grandmother, at an early age, and I had this ability to sort of have a dialogue without even speaking with each other. And there was always this awareness. And even with my mom. And then as I was little, I was always aware of an energy that was greater than myself. And I never felt alone. I always felt connected to some greater source of energy, whether you want to call it spirit or God or consciousness. You know, and I grew up Catholic, and we had, you know, all the rituals. And so as I got older into my teenage years and my early 20s, I started practicing yoga. And I loved yoga because it was somewhat familiar from what I had grown up, having rituals, having ceremony, having a practice, and having a connection to something greater than myself. You know, I studied lots of Eastern religions and Buddhism and just was always drawn to this question of what, there's something greater than ourselves here, and what sort of energy is this that I'm feeling that I can tap into, that I know that when I'm sort of in a quiet space, that I'm able to manifest things in a way. Like I can set an intention, and maybe it's never going to show up exactly as I have the idea, but you can, and that you can have it. And same with you were talking about earlier, dreams. You know, since I was little, I had this connection to dreams where I would dream and I'd think about somebody, I'd see them the next day, or I'd have a dream about something and it would happen, or all of this sort of alchemy and energy has all been part of my life. And, you know, I feel like I'm an old soul, and we're just here on this journey once again to connect to people that we loved in past life, to learn lessons. And I truly believe that our path is about a continuous refinement of self. Like how we always, maybe something keeps coming up in different ways, and it's for us to continuously refine ourselves to a place of, you know, of ultimately, like, as cool as a cucumber, nothing bothers you. Wouldn't that be like, perfect?
Yeah. I tell you, you can get to that place at sometimes, and then something comes up, and you, a new level, and you're not there anymore. You know?
I know. You're
true?
Like, wait a second. Yes.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm so calm all the time, and then something can happen. You're like, wait. Was that me right then?
Exactly, yeah. I experienced that recently, and I'm like, okay, you obviously have to go to the next level with our practice. And see, then let me ask you, when you felt that presence, something bigger, and the connection with your grandmother, did you term it, or did you just know, did you just feel, oh, this is something? Did you have an idea what it was? Did you call it something, or did you just feel it and just think, okay, that's just life?
I mean, I've always been drawn to Eastern religions and mysticism and alchemy and kind of understanding what this is. And so, you know, I researched and read books and studied different things. I believe all of us have the ability to be tapped into our sixth sense. It's just a matter of quieting the mind. And how do we quiet the mind? And, you know, for me, yoga and meditation is my path, and I love it. But that's not to say if I don't go in for a hike and I'm in nature, I can connect to something greater than myself. And I think that's, you know, there is no one path. Artists can get there. Philosophers can get there. Musicians, chefs, gardeners. We have so many different ways where we connect beyond self into this greater connection. Like I heard this concept a while back of, it's called stepping back and then leaning back, which I think is a great concept, because you know, each of our souls are incarnated into this lifetime. We have certain gifts, we have purposes, we have karma, dharma, but I believe also that in thinking that we're not just alone, we're not just about self, we're about the whole and how everything is interconnected with each other. That concept of connecting and stepping back to this universal energy, powerful. And I think we all have that ability.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, here's a synchronicity. I just spoke on that before you came on air.
Really?
I said we all have to step back.
Oh, I love it. There are no synchronicities. That's why I'm here today.
Exactly. I love that you're saying that, because I thought, I'm saying, well, we can't not only not go for, you know, further or forward, but that unless we deepen, you know, and really look, but the only way to do this, to step back, you have to step back from what is to go deeper. I don't, you know, so yeah. And I've been finding myself doing that more, I think, lately, actually. I think when you're going through major change or growth or something new is coming in, the stepping back is so important.
Mm-hmm. And it's so comforting to know, like, we are not just alone on this journey. And I think that, to be honest with you, that's why I made the film, because I don't mean to segue into the film, but I will say that, you know, I went through a very challenging time, and I felt so grateful for this practice of yoga and meditation that was allowing me to be present in what was such a challenging time in my life. And I thought, I'm not alone. Everybody faces challenges. We all face challenges. So what if I made this film that incorporated all these pearls of wisdom to help people on their journey that they can turn to again and again to source inspiration, because we all source inspiration from one another. And that's the beauty of it. It's like we all light each other up in different ways.
Mm, so true. So let's dive into that. So obviously you've been, you know, connected, and you've had this connection all your life, and this unfolding happened. And in fact, you studied the MA in spiritual psychology, certification in nutrition, certification in brain nutrition, which I want to go back to at some point and ask you about that. So obviously in your own yoga and meditation practice informed a lot of your decisions. Why a film? How did it come, and the choice of a documentary, how did that come about?
Sure. Well, I went to NYU for journalism, and I did work at 60 Minutes, too, for producer George Kreil, and I really love journalism. I love people. I'm a Gemini. I love you know, people's stories and communication. And so I've always had an interest in journalism and that. And so it's funny how we set intentions. And I remember thinking back many years ago, oh, I love working in this medium, but I really need to make documentaries because I also love to travel, and I like to work on projects and take a little time off, projects and take a little time off. So that was an intention that I probably set in 2004. And then fast forwarding, my mom got breast cancer, and she got breast cancer that was metastasized to her liver. So my mom was 57 years old, young. We have 5 brothers, 2 sisters, and she was facing losing her life. So I moved back from New York to spend the time that I did have left with my mom, and my sisters and I would take a week at a time to be with her, so nonstop, just to have the time that we had, be there for supporting emotionally, take her doctor's appointments, watch old movies, take a drive, whatever we could do. And it was a very painful yet special time. And she said, she was so cute. She's like, well, you know, she always looked at the bright side. Like, I'm so happy to have all of you guys all around me all the time. And she never really wanted to focus on what was the reality. So she didn't really like to talk about it, and she kind of maybe liked to live in denial. And so how did I, like, that was so hard to be there, you know, for 1 week at a time. So what I would do is I would take an hour and sometime during that day, and I would go upstairs in my brother's old room, light a candle, turn on some music, and I would do my yoga. And in that hour, I could let go of my pain, my anxiety, my fears, all of these things, and come back down and be present for my mom. It was such a release. And I just was so grateful for it. And then after her passing, I spent the summer back in New York, and I was outside practicing yoga under the trees. I was in upstate New York. And then I was just feeling so grateful for this practice that it was still getting me through losing my mom and still kind of being in a surreal place of that. And that's when I saw this film. Like, I literally saw the image of the cover of the film. I saw all the people that are in the film. And I just thought, I need to make this film because this path is helping me so much. And I want, as I said earlier, to have something people can turn to watch over and over again so that they know whatever they're facing, they have some pearls of wisdom. And it's funny because a lot of people email me and tell me how this film has transformed their lives, and I'm at screenings, and people say, you know, I've seen this film a couple of times, and each time I hear something different. Each time I hear what I'm supposed to hear. And even me, this last screening that we did like a month ago, I heard something that had been coming up in my life a lot, and it was so funny. So that's a long answer to your question.
No, it's a great answer. No, I love those. I'm diving in. So again, and what I love is it's so authentic because it's you know, it's the tool you use. It's what you found to be useful and authentic, and you're sharing that, you know. And I think there can be no greater truth than sharing what is authentic to ourselves, what really, you know, works for ourselves, and knowing that it can help other people as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you call it yoga is a transformational journey. Can you explain that a bit? How is it a transformational journey? I've never heard it termed that way. I agree, having practiced yoga, but I think a lot of times people start yoga, they don't think of transformation necessarily. You know, they might think health or fitness.
Right.
Some people are part of their spiritual path, but you're saying it's a transformational journey. If you could go into that a little bit.
Sure. Well, I agree with you. I mean, a lot of people are coming to yoga for many different reasons, for fitness, for maybe a little peace, and they hear things about it. And that moment that they step on the yoga mat, no matter what, whether they believe in spirit or they're into chanting or anything remotely, like intensely spiritual, they are going to notice a shift in themselves, and they might notice some stillness. And for me, the path of yoga became a really powerful, even though I took my first class in 1991, it was in 1998 where I had gotten anxiety, and I had been a fearless person in this world. I mean, traveling around the world, never even thinking about anything and being unsettled. And all of a sudden, I had anxiety, and I didn't know what this was, and my sister labeled it, "You have anxiety." And I went to a therapist, and I have mild anxiety. I'm like, well, how did this come about? And then I turned to, this is when I got to even deeper into, you know, self-caring, meaning, you know, yoga, meditation, and all these different things. And what I noticed for myself was that, like, we all have this chattering monkey mind that's swinging from branch to branch, from past, present, and future, to needs, to wants, to desires, to fears. This yoga practice was enabling me to find this most beautiful sense of calm. After I got into the practice and I left, it was as if I had the best night's sleep, and I'm just waking up. And then now the world can come back in, but I could have the sense of calm. And the more I did it, the more I stayed in that place. And when stress and anxiety or worries came up, I had this tool that I could go to. And the more stillness that I found, this transformation started happening, that I was able to hear these truths that are coming up within me, maybe things about my life. Maybe, like, for example, I was engaged to somebody and maybe that wasn't the right person for me, or maybe this particular path of work or anything that may be is the right path, or there needs to be addressing and looking at it. So truth kept coming up for me. And I also noticed that the transformation happens in that there's a great quote that says, the mind always confuses, and the heart always knows. And this is what I think happens in yoga, is that we start to live from a heart-centered practice, and we start to live from a heart-centered vision. And we sort of check in with our being, our soul, our heart, whatever you want to call it, and we feel versus think. And when you're living from your heart, when you're living from this place, you can only live in truth and authenticity, and anything else doesn't feel right. And the more you live in that, the transformation becomes. And then there's a transformation of self, where maybe what you were supposed to do with your life, or what you want to create in the world, all of these things start coming to you. And or just any beautiful, you know, epiphanies about yourself and growth and learning about maybe habits that you have that don't represent you, and you want to change those and be aware and become more mindful. So I think the transformation is one from when you step on the mat, it's a continuous unfolding of self and awareness, and that's a transformation. And that sort of is why I took those different sections in the film. And, I mean, we can talk about that. And, yeah, so that's – I feel that yoga is a very powerful path of transforming the self.
Yeah. You just said something that just answered something for me, as a matter of fact. You know, I think / I feel that when we start living more from the heart and not from the intellectualized mind that we're taught to live from, the constructed ego, it's scary. And it can be anxiety provoking because you're losing control. You're going by what you feel and what you intuitively know and not particularly mm-hmm. what was right taught to you or that you're supposed to do or should do that's going to get you this certain result. Because the heart can be a little bit like a roller coaster. It likes mm-hmm. a different flow. So, yeah, you know, when you said that about the anxiety coming up, because I've heard about that, and I've actually had it myself. Sometimes along your spiritual path, the path of especially meditation, yoga, even bhakti yoga, the chanting, you know, it mm-hmm. dislodges stuff within you. So, it, you know, whatever was kind of, you didn't even know was there, now all of a sudden comes bubbling up, you know, to look at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or to feel. And so I think, yeah, I think you said something so profound there, Suzanne, that I think, because we get a lot of calls on the show, like people, I'm feeling anxious now, I'm having to live differently, I'm awakening, you know, I'm more intuitive, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that, my life is changing. And it's anxiety provoking because they're not able to, or any of us aren't, to navigate in the old way by using our ego mind, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of, you know, you have to go by the heart of the intuition.
Yes, that's a really good thing to bring up. I'm glad that you're bringing that up because it is so true. And you're caught between two worlds because the world that you used to live in doesn't really feel right anymore. But the new world is kind of scary because things are a little bit shaky ground or you don't feel completely standing on solid ground, you're like, but you can't help it. You have to go towards this new path, towards the light, to your truth. And I would just say that, you know, we hear about this not only on the spiritual path, but we hear about this in philosophy, in art, in all of music. And this is kind of, as they say, the peeling back of the onion and this beautiful blossoming of your soul, which you are here to experience. You know, we come into this world as a baby, and we get these ideas of what we are. You're so cute, or you're this, you're smart, you're XXX. And there's all this preconditioning of who we are, and then our parents have dreams for us and rules and school. And then we go out into the world, and we start discovering ourselves. And this is the path. It's a continuous discovery of self, and we should celebrate that ability that we have to do that. And it can be scary sometimes, but know that in the unknown places lies such beauty. And if our life was so if it was so obvious what's going to happen next, then we wouldn't have the magic. It wouldn't be that exciting. So in that unknown areas that can produce anxiety and fear, beauty exists. And so I think in times like that, what has been really helpful to me is I focus on the things that I'm grateful for in my life. And I know people talk about gratitude, but it is powerful. I mean, I'll think about my niece and how cute she is and how like happy I am to hug her, or my adorable cat Sita, or my friends that give me so much love and support, or, you know, my boyfriend whose hugs feel great, or my family who I just have unconditional support and love from. And, you know, I just start thinking the things that I have gratitude on, and then that changes my energy in an instant. And so that has been a powerful practice
really
for me when I'm feeling a little bit.
I love that. So that does, you know, and I love what I'm going to put it on our page, that, you know, what you're saying in the anxiety and the chaos, but, you know, in the unknown, but also in the unknown beauty exists. And I think it's sometimes hard to see that or feel that, but going into gratitude, I've been fine. Maybe that's why I've been feeling so much gratitude lately, because I think gratitude is very grounding, because it also reaffirms and keeps confirming, look what you do have despite everything else. You know, how did this life just spring up? So something's working, you know, something's going right. You know?
Exactly.
Oh, gosh. Amazing.
It's true. I mean, I got sick on an airplane three times, but I've traveled so much. So I told myself, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that bad. But I required oxygen, so it always produces a slight anxiety when I get on a plane. And I think, oh, my gosh, what, you know, and even though I know it's not going to happen again, but if I did, you know, I got food poisoning and over all the amount of years. So what I do is I use this practice, and I close my eyes, and I start breathing, and I think about the things that I just shared with you, and all of a sudden this calm washes over me. Or even just one person, like just say your boyfriend and how he might feel good holding you, or your cat snuggling with your cat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just focusing in on all of the senses. How does it feel? Is the, you know, what's the room look like? Like, I can think about snuggling with my cat on my bed and the light shining through, the sun hitting me. I feel warm. I'm snuggling with her. I can hear her purring. It just makes me so calm. So being able to use your senses to get to that place of calm, I think, can really change. And one other thing I want to say about gratitude is that when you, I think that love is the most important thing that we're here to experience and share. And just because we don't maybe have a husband or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, I want people to always know that we have love in all different ways, and that truly to be happy in this world, I think you need to have, you know, a pie cut in 10 slices or whatever with love. Because, for example, you can have so much love with your friends that you feel such like love and support with your family, with your community, with your path, whatever your chosen path is for a career, with your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, with your, you know, pet, with sense of self. There's so many ways that you can feel love. And when you, and I think it's important to cultivate those different areas, because if one isn't full in that particular moment, you have all these others that are still fulfilling your heart and being. And I think ultimately when we feel love, we feel at peace. And when we're not feeling at peace, we feel a little bit anxious. So tapping into those people through your vision, when you're feeling a little bit anxious or unsettled, realizing these particular areas of your life do have love and support for you. And so continue, march on towards this unknown path if you have the support.
I love it. Now, I know you've helped thousands, the thousands that are listening now and the thousands that will listen to the archives, but already in our chat, we have a listener saying, Shannon is saying, you're both very reassuring. I've been feeling the anxiety from things changing, and I like thinking about beauty being beyond that.
Aww.
Yeah, beyond that, but within it,
so
too,
sweet.
Right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And each time we face these things that seem anxiety-producing or challenging, there's also lessons, valuable lessons to be learning in that moment. And if we can sit still with what's happening and just know that, you know, that anxiety and fear that comes through you is like a wave. It's never as intense as a particular moment. It peaks. So it kind of comes in a wave and it can go. And just know that these feelings too will change, just like everything changes. And also faith. Like, there's a great quote from Osho, and he talks about this concept of having faith, not belief, but absolute certain faith. Because he said, just like the sun, we don't think about, is the sun going to come out tomorrow morning? We just, it's like in the back of our minds, of course, we're going to go to bed, the sun's going to come out tomorrow. So what if we could bring that complete faith that whatever we're going through is going to come out in a beautiful way, and know that we can ride these waves that come through our life, and that something beautiful will be there on the end. And adversity creates character and depth, and this depth is such a rich soul and so wise. So, you know, these are your life lessons to be learning on this journey, and so just tap into those resources that you have around you that fill you. I mean, whatever it is, just putting, you know, looking at the garden of your life and planting things in there that make you happy, I think is important.
Mm. Yeah, and maybe doing a little weeding. If there's weeds.
Yeah, doing some weeding. Of course, and that's what they also say on the spiritual spiritual path, is that as you're on this path, the things that don't serve you fall away. The things that don't serve you fall away. So allow that and know that, like I told the universe at some point, bringing in kind, loving, unconditional support of friends in my life, period. I have this in my life. And let me tell you, this is what I have in my life. And I feel so grateful. And when I don't, when I meet people that maybe who are not authentic or honest or things like any, you know, no one's a bad person, but just I want to live as much peace as possible because life happens, dramas happen, stress happens. So I try to create my inner circle with people that are unconditionally loving. But when these people come into my life that are hurtful, I will say that the universe assesses them out really quickly. Something happens really quickly. Mm-hmm. And then when it does, I'm like, wow, that was so strange. They seemed so nice and authentic and real. Then I say, thank you, universe, because you showed me pretty quickly, okay? And it can also be situations. You know what? When we might want to be with a person in a relationship and we're like, why am I with that person? Or a job or anything in my life. But when something doesn't happen that we really want it to happen, it's always interesting because something more authentically aligned with you comes about.
I love that. Yeah, that's so true. That is so true. I have one question before, because I want to get into your classes and stuff, but I did want to ask, what is brain nutrition? You studied brain nutrition.
Oh, sure. Well, so this is a really fascinating area for me, particularly because I suffered from anxiety, and I wanted to address it. And I think that I am not against pharmaceutical prescriptions for anxiety or depression and these things, you know, whatever your path is, I think that's right for you. But for me, that wasn't my path. I had tried Prozac for several months and it didn't work for me. And so I wanted to find something that worked for my anxiety. So that really set me on the path of understanding brain chemistry and looking at foods and supplements and lifestyle and exercise. So brain chemistry, brain nutrition that I studied was a year-long certification that I took that focused on really the four main components of brain chemistry, which is GABA, acetylcholine, serotonin, and dopamine. Now, GABA is the thing that we're deficient in when we have anxiety. So fascinating. Mm. Because if we're not producing enough GABA, we're going to have anxiety. If we don't have enough serotonin, we'll have depression. If we don't have enough acetylcholine, we can have trouble with the creativity, communication. And if we don't have enough dopamine, we can have trouble with the drive and the focus. So I thought that's really fascinating.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So you can take certain particular foods that will increase dopamine, that will increase serotonin, GABA, acetylcholine. You can take certain supplements that will increase that. And so, I mean, that's very empowering. And also yoga, interestingly enough, increases GABA in your brain. So.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. So
that's
what
you immediately feel less, you feel immediately peaceful and calm. If you've had anxiety, it's gone, you know.
Exactly. So what I do is, I mean, I have a private practice that I speak with people on Skype or in person or on the phone. And well, I have them take a test that was written by this doctor who studied brain chemistry for 30 years. And he did this brain scan and he created this test that was really accurate in brain chemistry. And you also get to learn a little bit about your personality. And it's fascinating because also depending on your dominant brain chemistry is your personality. So if you've ever taken like a Myers-Briggs test, your dominant brain chemistry is also your personality. So it's fascinating. And so I guess that's what I think is so interesting, that we have these practices such as yoga and meditation that can increase GABA. We have certain foods that can increase serotonin, such as, you know, sunlight helps, carbohydrates, but obviously you want to have the right carbohydrates so you don't, like, get really hot, you know, full of energy and then crash. So, that's what it is, and I just think it's so, so interesting that we can, because sometimes even pharmaceuticals will give, like, serotonin uptake inhibitor for anxiety. Well, serotonin is for depression. Anxiety is specific GABA, and sometimes you can have both. But what I found when I was on the Prozac for a few months before doing all my supplements and everything was that it was increasing my anxiety. So I think this way you can be more specific. But again, I'm not against pharmaceuticals. I think whatever works for a person, I think is they know best. But this is just another avenue.
I love it. I think this is a great avenue for people. Now, Suzanne, let's talk a little bit about how people can find you. I know your film, Yoga Is, A Transformational Journey, is on the website, yogais.com. Is that also where people can find you for classes or to work with you via Skype?
Sure. They can go to yogais.com under contact page, or they can go to suzannebryant.com, and under contact, my information is there. We have a really incredible class that's going to be coming out in January that really is about releasing fears and living your authentic life, and also many aspects around this well-balanced life. So that's coming out. So if you're interested in anything like that, you can email me. And then if anybody's interested in seeing the film, you can get it from yogais.com. We also have it in the Whole Foods across the United States. It's on Amazon and iTunes. And we'll be having some more key theatrical cities in the coming months of end of January, February, March. Anybody that wants to host a screening of Yoga Is with your community, you can contact me. And yeah, we have lots of exciting things coming up, a book, classes, private, everything.
Wonderful.
So, it's a lot of, you know.
Now, you're local, because I saw you at Lee McClowski's, because he's, maybe that's where I heard of you, because he's a friend, personal and of the show, and you have passed before screenings and such. Yeah. So also, feel free to put a link of what you're going to be doing on our Awakenings Radio page.
Well, thank you.
Also as well, so people can find out. I love what you're saying about the brain chemistry, and I love the film that you did. I think it's amazing work of inspiration and aspiration. So,
I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for you.
And I'm so grateful that you could be on the program and share with us, Suzanne. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Well, maybe we'll have to include a brain chemistry class, because that would be really fun. People can navigate and figure out what they are. That would be.
That'd be great. Yeah, let me know. And you have an open invite to come back and share, or also you can always email us what you have going on, and we can let our listeners know as well.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. You're doing a great service to everyone with the show, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
Thanks so much. Take good care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, lovely, lovely energy. Of course, our guest was Suzanne Bryant. Her film is Yoga Is, A Transformational Journey, and you can find out more information at yogais.com. Woo, I'm grateful for all of you. Grateful for everyone in the chat, everyone listening via iTunes, archives, Skype, Tuned In Radio. Just grateful for the unfolding and our connecting here. As always, we'll be back next Wednesday, reading till about answering questions about 12 to about 12:50. And until then, just continue to shine your light, share your insight, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.